gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant. Or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In this episode of the Wash Up Walk-Ons, we sit down with Connor Kane, special guest, walked on to the Iowa football team with Drake, myself, and Kevin in 2013. He did not see the field. You probably don't know his name, but he has done big things starting all the way back when we were in Iowa City in the black and gold. He's a big-time entrepreneur about to start his own company. You guys are going to love him. Let's have a day, baby. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 209 of the podcast. Today we're back, another awesome guest, a guy that I think a lot of us have a lot of respect for because he found a way to use his 24 hours that he was given in a day during Iowa football much more efficiently than we were able to find ourselves using our time. And because of that, he became uber successful before we even knew what a job was. World traveler, legendary human. Connor Kane, welcome to the podcast, bud.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you guys. Looking forward to the podcast today.
Dude, it's been so long.
I know. It's been forever.
I hit you up like 2 months ago and said, like, bro, we got to get you on the podcast. Like, I want to talk about all the stuff you've done, even all the way back to Iowa. And for those listening, Connor came in the same class that we did, 2013, into Iowa City. From St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah.
What was the dream back then, bro? Like, what was the dream?
I don't know. I guess I just, wanted to come to Iowa and potentially make the NFL. Obviously, I think that's everyone's goal, right? When you come into the program, obviously didn't work out that way. but overall, I mean, obviously had a great time and really looking forward to getting caught up with everybody.
Drake mentioned it in the intro. You used your time a little bit better probably, definitely than I did. I remember back in, were you on third floor of Hillcrest?
I was on second floor.
Oh, okay.
I was right next to Pete and John Kenny. Oh, so we had a pretty busy area for sure.
Busy is a good word. So we had John on, and he was John was like traveling. 'Cause he works with Monarch now.
Yeah. Right.
He was, like, traveling. He's, like, in Texas or Alabama or somewhere at the time. Oklahoma,
Austin,
maybe.
Austin, Texas.
And he was, like, wearing a cowboy hat. He was just at some, like, Airbnb. It was the funniest stuff, man. He was true John Kenny fashion. For those listening, just like John or Brandon Bishop or even, like, Reed Silby, for those of you who have listened to those episodes, Connor's a guy who kind of lit up the locker room and was just a good all-around dude. But you probably didn't hear his name mentioned a lot because he wasn't on the field on Saturdays. And there's so many guys that we played with that are like Connor who, to be honest, Connor's doing bigger, better things than football anyway, but and has been for a while. But you just don't get to learn those stories. And I don't know. I was always fascinated with you, man. Like, you always had something that you were doing. And in prep, short prep for this podcast, I went back and I found a post from the UI early on about your swivel shaker and your laundry service, dude. I forgot about that. Talk about those.
Dude, I even forgot about the laundry service, to be honest. So I guess, you know, taking it back to high school, I guess, is kind of where my entire kind of entrepreneurship, I guess, journey began. And by the way, I think you guys are giving me way too much credit. I'm nowhere near successful yet in terms of where I'm trying to go. But I appreciate the kind words. But definitely not making the NFL money yet. So essentially, I guess, back in high school, a buddy of mine and I, we actually started kind of selling like Beats by Dre headphones on Craigslist, which we like right when they came out, which is like when you're in high school. And what we would do is we would line up a buyer before we even had the product, because we'd be buying it from somebody else. We'd put up these ads on Craigslist and we'd say, hey, you know, Beats by Dre headphones, whatever, $200, $250, whatever's a little bit under retail. And what we did then is we would also have ads out to buy these Beats for, call it, you know, $150, $175. So when we had, when somebody was emailing us to actually buy the headphones, then we hit up the person who's selling them, go buy them real quick, drive 20 minutes, you know, down the road and go sell them for like $80 profit, $100 profit, which, you know, in high school, it's, you know, to make that amount in you know, 20, 30 minutes, it's not that
bad. Bro, you're hustling. That's hustling right there. That's some Gary Vee shit.
So then I stumbled upon the entrepreneurship program at Iowa. So the swivel shaker was, so my dad actually was in like the restaurant industry. He worked for like Coca-Cola, M&M's growing up. So I was kind of always around like different products like that. And so it was like this, it was basically this high end, like salt and pepper shaker for restaurants, which looking back, it's like not even that big of a deal. But, you know, I won like a $500 elevator pitch competition, at the University of Iowa, and I was kind of hooked from there. So that's kind of how I got started. And I've obviously done a couple different things since then. But that's kind of where it all started.
Was it tough for you to, I mean, I guess I don't, you could talk about the football side of it, because kind of as Drake alluded to, the football side was like, I mean, that's a full-time job, right? And you're waking up, lifts, meetings, practice, more meetings. You're studying film away from the facility just to be able to compete. Did you find it a struggle to manage your time? KF used to always talk about, not even KF, everybody used to talk about time management, right? As a Division I athlete or as a college athlete in general. And you had a lot on your plate. Did you find it hard to manage putting full effort into all of the things that you were kind of into?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think where I kind of decided, right, because you, like, as you mentioned, you only have so much time in a day. I think football is definitely still my number one focus, because if you're out too late or you're working on other things, whatever it is, and your mind isn't there. And not to mention, obviously, as a walk-on, as you guys know, like, I wasn't the most talented guy. So it's like
walk-on army,
sure,
baby.
I had to make sure that I had my shit straight, you know, when it came to making sure I showed up on time, making lifts, doing everything I needed to do. So that was definitely still the number one priority. But I will say social aspect, obviously kind of more on a weekend, that was about it, which, you know, for us, it was kind of tough with football anyway, right? We weren't doing a whole lot of other things. But yeah, time management. I would say that school probably took a hit, more than anything else. Kind of just got by in terms of that. But then, yeah, I tried to focus more on my extracurricular kind of entrepreneurship activities for sure.
That's incredible. I remember at one point you're like, I don't know if this is actually what it was. Cause I never really, I was kind of fascinated by it. At one point, I'm pretty sure you were like messing around with drop shipping or something like that in the middle of college. And I just, like, you would come in, you were, like, kind of, you know, a few of the guys, like, knew a little bit about it, and you were, like, making money from it, and I was just like, dude, what is he doing? I gotta get on this stuff. Like, I want to make some cash, too. And, what was that all about? That was, like, maybe a year or two in.
Yeah, I think that started, like, maybe my junior year or so. So, and that's kind of why I prefaced it with the Beats by Dre stories, because it's literally the exact same concept, but instead of having to drive 20 minutes or whatever, I just did it all online.
Yeah,
so,
it was online, arbitrary.
Yeah, so I set up, like, an Amazon storefront, because that was kind of, like, and it's obviously still the hot thing now. But, like, back then, yeah, you could be a third-party seller on Amazon really pretty easily. And so what I did is I did a bunch of different research on different websites to find, you know, essentially what the price is going for on Amazon versus what the price is going on these other websites. And for whatever reason, like eBay and like all these other websites were selling things for cheaper than what was on Amazon. And so what I did is I did a bunch of different like product research, and I was sold everything from like Bluetooth headsets to crock pots to even home telephones, like whatever. If, as long as there's a difference in price, I pretty much tried to sell it. But yeah, so essentially just grew, I think I had like $300 or $400 from my birthday that I had gotten and grew it, to a decent amount over a couple of years. But yeah, essentially how it would work is, same thing. I had these products listed on my Amazon site. And then as soon as somebody bought it from me, I would go to eBay or wherever and buy it from there and then ship it directly to whoever bought it from me on Amazon. So it was pretty much just the middleman, passing the product from one person to another. And yeah, I would just do it. Like I'd come in from a lift or practice, or I was in the hot tub and I get an order or whatever. And you know, everyone's on their phones anyway in the hot tub. So I would just, you know, put an order through or whatever. So as a walk on, and like, you know, we were spending $35 a week on, practice and lifts and stuff.
Care hours, 20 hours a week. 20.
I suppose.
No, fuck that. We were
the only way to make money, I guess, as a walk on. You know, we weren't getting those scholarship checks.
You didn't have those NIL rights.
That I did not.
God damn.
I love that. That probably wouldn't have been worth anything anyway.
Yeah, I don't think any of us really were. Drake probably could have been the beneficiary of some commercial cash after he broke his leg for like the local orthopedic surgeon or something like that.
100%.
Listen, dude, if Dr. Wolf wanted to use me as an advertisement, he definitely could, because I have a lot of hours of his work put into my beat to shit frame.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. And honestly, you're pretty, you know, the puzzle's kind of put back together right now. You know, there's a couple missing pieces, but the edges are there at least.
I guess.
Yeah. It's pretty beat up though.
Dude, who's the coolest person you've met because of either Iowa football or entrepreneurship?
Oh man, that is a tough question.
Because you've been to some insane place, like some actual bucket list. You jumped out of a plane over Dubai.
Yeah.
Like you've done some insane things. I feel like you got to met some cool people.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think the coolest person, or I guess one of the guys that I looked up to when I first got into the travel industry, two people actually. One is this guy named Eric Demir, who runs a Instagram page called EarthPix. It's just the word Earth and then PIX. It's the largest travel community on all social media. And so being able to meet him just through kind of the travel scene was really cool. And there's actually another content creator, who's based in Miami named Jeremy Austin. I think he has close to 600,000 followers now on Instagram. So those are two guys just, you know, being in the travel scene and trying to kind of make my name there. Those are definitely two guys that I really, looked up to and, you know, have been fortunate to meet for sure.
I want to talk about the travel thing real quick, because then, you know, 2-3 years in, you were with us for all the way up through the 2016 season, right?
Yeah, correct.
And I want to talk about the mindset, kind of the decision to, leave football behind and then start pursuing other things, because I'm sure that's something that tore at you. I feel like knowing you, it's something that tore at you. You know, you're making money doing this other stuff. Eventually, you kind of start to see, like, football isn't going where I originally hoped it might. And I want to go chase after these other opportunities, but I've got this football thing that's dragging me down now. But at some point, you own this Instagram account. And then I hear about this, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on, man? Like, he's got, like, an Instagram account that's about, like, travel, and it's got, like, 100,000 followers. How did that even happen?
Yeah. So I guess going back to the first part of the question, it was definitely something, you know, really since, you know, I would just say probably going into our redshirt sophomore, redshirt junior year, kind of like, it was just hard, like, because, yeah, you're right, you're putting in the effort. But the thing, too, is, like, for me, I knew that I was putting 100% effort into everything that I was doing. So I couldn't be mad at the end of the day if I didn't stack up. Now, of course, obviously, I wanted to, right? I wanted to compete. I wanted to be on the field more. But it's like, there's only so much we can do.
Right.
So that, you know, that decision was definitely tough, just because, you know, obviously I had been playing football since, you know, we were all however young we start playing football. And so it was just tough, you know, to kind of make that decision, but it definitely, you know, was kind of propelled by that. And so, you know, I think too, something that I don't know if I'd ever shared this with anybody, but Coach Ferentz is so, like, obviously so genuine and nice when it came to me kind of making my decision. He even offered to, you know, write me like a letter of recommendation, and wow. I wish I would have taken him up on that. I think it would have been really cool just to have that as, you know, just kind of something to reference my time with Iowa. But
you could probably still get one if you wanted it.
Yeah, I suppose.
He would for sure still write it just out of principle.
Yeah, for sure. So that's something I always liked, you know, about him. It's just total man of principle, you know, as you guys well know. But in terms of the travel stuff, yeah, I guess, you know, I guess kind of, I didn't travel growing up at all. Maybe a couple road trips to like Wisconsin Dells, being originally from Minnesota, but never left the country, never really did a whole lot of traveling growing up. And so, you know, once I had made just like a little bit of money and stuff from Amazon, I started traveling. And so it really just opened my eyes. Actually, I think it was after 2016 or 20, I think 2016 spring ball. I think I took like a solo trip to Hawaii and I was like, you know, growing up in Minnesota, I'd never been anywhere tropical or anything like that. And so mm-hmm. that was cool. And so that was kind of what opened my eyes to it, to the point where, yeah, I actually purchased the Instagram account that you're talking about, Tyler, from this guy in Spain. Never met him. Just like just DM'd this account. I'm like, hey, do you want to sell your account? And he was like, yeah, sure. So we kind of agreed on a price. Paid him half up front. He could have just ran. I mean, I don't know. I just guess I just had blind faith that the guy was actually going to like fall through with the right password and stuff for the Instagram account. But yeah. So then did that, and then essentially kind of partnered with a bunch of different hotels and as Jacob mentioned, Skydive Dubai and a bunch of different kind of partners across the world over the last couple of years.
Dude, that's insane. I mean, that's insane. Like, and you don't have like a. So essentially, what you did is you leveraged the following of the account to then sell the partnership of, hey, if you pay for me to come here, I'll highlight it on this Instagram page.
Yeah, for sure. And it wasn't always.
You're so fucking smart. I mean, you're so smart. Where did that come from? Like, was that just you saw other people doing that, or it was just in you? Like, that just idea hit you? Because to me, that's genius, bro. And, like, it makes so much sense.
Yeah, so definitely wasn't my original idea. Just some other people had done it. You know, it's really just goes back to however long. I mean, you could call it. I mean, it's such a big term now, but influencer marketing. Right? I mean, obviously, like Nike was doing it with Michael Jordan way back in the day, right? Like, it's always been around. It's just a matter of it being a lot more accessible for kind of people like us now. But no, I had seen other people do it before, and they weren't always paid. You know, in terms of like money in my pocket, it was more like, hey, you know, I'll come out and highlight this hotel or, you know, you're skydiving or whatever, and it'll just be comped or whatever, right? So free stay, free room, whatever it may be. That's kind of how it all got started. And then I just kind of built a portfolio because, you know, I started with like a Waldorf Astoria hotel here in Chicago. And I'm like, hey, when I'm reaching out to other hotels, I'm like, hey, I've worked with them. And you just kind of keep stacking it and kind
the
of create
a
little portfolio.
Bigger.
Yeah, exactly.
That's insane. And you just like, man, just decided to like, hey, can I buy this Instagram account? At the time, how many followers did it have?
I think it had close to 100,000 or so. And then over the couple years that I had it, I've actually since sold it. To
our man, hey, flip it for a profit, just like, you know.
The exit. The exit.
Yeah, the exit. So I sold it last summer to a media company in New York. They were looking to add like a travel branch to the social media stuff. So, but yeah, grew it from like 100 to like around 230,000 or so.
God
over
damn.
Like a couple of years.
You don't have to say the number, but like that buying and selling Instagram accounts, it kind of fascinates me. Like, do you know what kind of like crazy prices those kind of accounts start to go for? Like when they get real big like that?
Yeah, I would
like
say,
is it in the tens of thousands of dollars?
So it's weird because it depends. And the reason why is because like engagement is huge now. So it's because obviously people can buy fake followers. So you could have a million followers, but have 10 likes on your post. And
I need to do that, by the way. I've been meaning to get on that for my personal account.
Yeah. So I you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it, but yeah, I mean, you could have a hundred thousand follower account go for $20,000 or $30,000 if the engagement is really targeted. Now that wasn't what mine was, you know, but it was they're out there and for sure, yeah.
So, I imagine this ended up being a good investment on the bottom line.
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, Do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, for sure. The money that I put up was actually completely, because I actually went back, because I did a week-long trip in California. I started in Los Angeles, stayed there for a couple of days, went down to Temecula to wine country, stayed there for a couple of days, and then finished in San Diego and flew back from there. And that entire trip itself covered for my initial investment from the page. And then obviously kind of did some other things after that as well. So yeah, I would say all in all, in terms of like money made in my pocket, it wasn't a ridiculous amount, but in terms of like the services and everything that I got out of it, definitely like I think 6 or 7x probably what I initially paid.
So where's the master?
Why get out of it?
So the reason I decided to get out of it was because for me, like I realized that I wanted to create like a true business in social media. And so, not in social media, in the travel industry. And so that's actually kind of what I'm working on now, which I'm sure we'll get to. But, with it just being a social media page that was pretty much reposting other people's content, they're almost like a dime a dozen, right? There's no separation. You're kind of, when you're not posting your own photos, you're posting other people's photos and tagging them. And there's so many like themed pages like that out there that I was like, I don't really want to run this anymore. Because I want to focus on building like a real business with, real employees and stuff like that.
Makes sense. So you finally decide to get out of football after I imagine that was paired with like graduation, right?
Yep.
So
2017.
Yeah, 2017 May.
So the winter, I got out.
About 3.5
before that. Yeah. Yep.
Smart guy. So just bullet point after bullet point, proving that you're the smartest on this podcast. So you graduate. What was the first thing that you did after you got out of football, and then you got into the business world? What are you doing at that point?
Yeah. So I actually had a couple different sales jobs because, I needed to build up capital essentially to build a company. And so I knew that I couldn't, get by on wishful thinking and things like that. I really needed money. So
how much better of a salesman are you than Kevin? Just right off the bat.
Because Kevin's an orthopedic, trauma sales right now.
Not tough competition.
I would say I'm better. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm not gonna fight you.
Okay, continue. I just wanted to shit on Kevin.
if you guys laced up the harness, who wins in the tug of war drill when you're running opposite ways?
Ooh, I don't know. Kevin has that lower body strength. I don't know. I think he may have me beat on that.
Yeah. Okay. 1-1.
I would fight you. I'd give away the salesman one, but I'd fight you on the tug of war.
Yeah, what are you deadlifting these days? 800?
Just enough to make him pass out.
Exactly.
So you got into some sales gigs.
Yeah. So just had a couple different sales jobs, and so I'm still working a software sales job here in Chicago. Just pretty much saving up money until it's time for me to kind of go off on my own to officially launch my company.
Dude, I'm inspired.
I got to hear about the company, though, because being somebody who created their entire own company, pretty interested in that.
Yeah, for sure. So essentially what it's going to be is it's going to be a luxury luggage company. So when I, throughout the whole social media kind of era that I had, and also the experience that people I've met, like travel for me was like the biggest thing that I love to do. And so I'm like, okay, well, how can I build, a business in the travel industry, doing something that I love kind of for the rest of my life. And so it's going to be a luxury luggage company. The reason why is because, I like the highest of end things. And it's actually, it's actually funny. I was going to mention this. A lot of the things, I've been studying the luxury industry. It's very similar to all the things that we learned at Iowa, which is kind of weird because you don't think about 120 guys, you know, sweating it out in a gym, you know, as like the most luxurious thing in the world. But, you know, a lot of these companies, you know, they pay attention to detail, the daily disciplines, you know, making sure they're the best of the best, things like that. And so, what we're going to be doing is making the highest end bags, and we're going to be selling them to different regions in the world. So essentially there's going to be different, categories of the bags based on different, parts of the world. So that's, you know, without getting too much into it right now, I guess that's really all I can say at this point.
That's elite. When do you guys think you're going to launch the company?
So we just finished our first prototype. I have a designer over in Italy working to complete the prototype. So we're going to have a duffel bag, a backpack, and a passport holder to start. And so we just finished the first duffel bag prototype. So I would say within the next year or so, everything should be launched.
Dude, you're Gucci. You're not, as in, you're not good. Like, you're actually Gucci. You're becoming travel Gucci. Is
yeah,
what you are.
Trying to get there slowly.
Oh
slowly.
My God, dude!
And you have a lot of partners.
No, I'm all by myself.
All by yourself? How
wow.
Did you get capital?
So
Shark Tank it?
So
no, dude, he's just been grinding. He probably eats ramen every night. Tell us about your diet and how it's changed since Iowa and having to keep weight on. And do you sleep on the floor with no pillow?
No, absolutely not. Yeah, no, that's actually something I'm kind of glad was naturally brought up, because after Iowa, I think you maybe mentioned, I think Kevin got a Snapchat from Budget or something about like how he hadn't touched the weight in a year and a half. Like, dude, I was the exact same way. I was like, I'm burnt out. I don't even want to look at like a lift. I'm never squatting again in my life. All that. So I would say probably a year or so after I was done in Iowa, I was just like, I didn't even want to work out at all. So, but then I realized, I'm like, okay, I actually need to like get back on the horse here. And so started actually working out more. And so, and I know Tyler, we had mentioned it a couple of times, maybe through Texas. I did the 75 hard program.
Mm-hmm.
So or is Drake and Kevin, are they aware of that at all?
I don't know.
Sure.
You can, it's pretty simple. I mean,
yeah. So it's a really complete mental transformation program. So I just, you know, I deep down, I'm like, I know that I'm leaving something in the tank mentally. You know, I just kind of wanted to get some of that edge back that we had at Iowa. And so, really,
yeah,
75 days in a row, you have to like follow a diet. You have to have two 45 minute workouts every single day. One has to be outside. You have to drink a gallon of water. You have to read 10 pages of a nonfiction book. And you have to take a progress picture. You have to do that for 75 days straight. If you miss a meal, if you have a sip of alcohol or something like that, you have to start back on day one. So that really like fine tuned my brain, kind of back to where I wanted to get to. And
you got a little bit bodied up too, man.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, through that, because I was like 197. It wasn't a good 197 when I started. And I got down to like 177 or so. And then I kind of kept going and I got down to like 171 this summer. And I was like, this is too skinny. So I've kind of been building back up actually here over the last 3 months or so. And so now I'm back up to 195, but it's a better 195 for sure.
Good. Bro, when you, I'll lay claim to it here. When you are fucking big time and you're rolling around in like your own private jet, you know, whatever company you own in 15 years, I will be your personal trainer, your traveling personal trainer.
And that would be very nice.
I call that gig right now. Yeah.
You got it.
Good.
You got it.
And we're doing 5x5 for at 85%, so get ready.
Gun yeah. To your head.
Yeah,
and
gun
now
to your head.
You just lost your job, dude. If you would have just shut the fuck up, you would have had a job, and now you just lost your job.
No, dude, I find that people, you know, once they don't have a direction or someone telling them what to do after a long period of time, people will just, they like to, and it works is the reason why they know that if they pay money to have someone put them through hard shit, the results are usually good. So it is what it is. Speaking of 85.
Famous little self-plugger.
Yeah. 85 for 5. Tyler Kluver Fitness, by the way. You can go to tylerkluver.com. Reach me at the contact page. Client spots filling up fast. I'm in high demand. but there are a few slots open. So,
it's that right there made me want to tank your whole business.
Okay, try. Speaking of 5x5 for 85%, when you think back to Iowa football, what comes to mind? Like, what's the first? Like, if someone asks you about your playing days, you know, you meet somebody and you kind of start talking about, like,
they say, "Hey, man, what was it like to play for Iowa football?"
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I mean, you know, obviously without having a whole lot of field experience, I think a lot of it was just a camaraderie, you know. I mean, probably we were close to each other in the locker room and everything, and kind of that corner. I would just say that in, like, the workouts, you know, like all the summer workouts, all the winter workouts, everything. You know, I just think, like, little stories and little camaraderies that, you know, that I've had with the team is definitely what I take away. And, along with obviously all the life lessons and stuff like that, 100%.
Favorite memories?
Yeah, I have a lot, I guess. I think the very first summer, you guys had Steve Manders on, right? Like earlier,
yep.
Earlier in the show. So he was my first roommate.
Oh.
Do
you still follow Mandy?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Fucking Cornbelt Cowboy, baby. Yeah. The one called Manders.
Yeah, I think I bought a shirt and like a winter beanie from him.
So I have a shirt from him as well.
Yeah. So it was like the first summer heading into our freshman year, and we were staying at like Park Lawn. Do you guys remember where that is? Or were you guys
aware of
that?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of over by the old the Art Building West, right?
I was not a part of the early group. I was scum of the earth.
Yeah, it's probably over by like the public pool, the public Iowa City pool.
Yep.
Over there. And so he was my first roommate there, and I remember like we would go to workouts or before workouts or after workouts. I think we were in the afternoon group actually, which is hot.
Bad.
3 p.m.
Bad.
We played so much NCAA 14, I think, I think they're coming back out with the game again. But, like, I don't know if you guys have ever talked to Steve about, like, just college football in general. Like, he's like an encyclopedia. Like,
no, yeah,
like,
yeah.
We would be, like
– every player from every team, yeah.
Yeah, we'd be playing the game, and he'd be like, oh, this guy transferred from here, went to JUCO with this guy, and transferred. I'm like, dude, like, it just says, like, wide receiver number 6. Like, how do you know that? It made no sense. So,
Steve,
you know, yeah,
dude,
yeah, he's yeah.
Shout out to Steve too, man. Because talk about following a dream and like betting on yourself, dude's out
100%.
There. Dude's out 100%. There. Some of the videos.
Him.
I just sent a video to the Benton chat of him and some other big bald dude just headbutting each other and like breaking chairs.
Of blood.
Yeah, blood everywhere. I mean, the man is out there living, baby. He's gonna make it. I promise you there's gonna be a time maybe 10 years from now where he is a fucking superstar in Japan. And he's I promise. It's gonna happen.
100%. Speaking of Ben, do you guys remember do you guys remember this place along Benton? That was called the Touch of Mink.
Oh yeah. We're familiar with the Touch of Mink.
I'm just curious.
I don't think it's there anymore. I'm pretty sure
I don't think it is either. I think people can go ahead and Google that. It just made me think of that. I don't know. It's just a funny little thing about Iowa.
Was that the salon, Kevin?
Yeah, that was. I think it got raided by the cops for.
It was the same thing
that Robert Kraft got in trouble.
It was a rub and tug joint. we lived 35 feet from a rub and tug. Unbelievable, dude.
Yeah, I was on my moped on the way to Lyft early in the morning one day. I thought I saw Drake walking out of there.
Yeah, dude, that's the only place that any of my money went. I tried to go to Riverside and win poker tournaments just so I could get dry hand jobs at the Mink.
From the Touch of Mink. Well, actually, first you stopped at Zio Giano's for some breadsticks, and then you went to the Touch of Mink. That was a good little spot. And then they put the Subway on that corner. Man. Oh.
Fire.
Anyway,
so being that you did some awesome shit outside of football while being in football, was football worth it? Or would you, if you could go back again and do 4 years of college, would you put all your eggs in like the business basket instead of having to devote so much time? Or do you think you got more out of Iowa football than you could have without it?
I think I definitely got more out of it than I could, right? Like, obviously, you'd love to have both, but I think a lot of the lessons and a lot of the things that I have kind of used and carried forward into business really kind of started there. You know, I mean, I worked out a lot in high school and stuff like that. But in terms of just, like, The attention to detail and discipline and stuff like that, like getting up when you really don't want to, and doing things when you're just not in the mood to do it. I don't think you can really teach that without, you know, actually going through it. So, no, I definitely don't have any regrets about that. I would definitely still go through the 4 years.
Do you miss a nice chilly -5 degree walk over to the facility in 2013 winter?
100%
for a 6 a.m. lift. Because I do. It. I do. I'd sign up for that shit right now, and I'd pay for it.
I remember say what you want that. About it, man. It builds character. Follow up to Drake's question. How much do you think college, the actual classes and courses, helped you out to get to where you're at now and where you want to go? Or do you kind of just figure it out by yourself?
I'm a big believer in figuring things out by yourself. So in terms of what, I did finance and I did entrepreneurial management, which, you know, for what I'm doing, you don't really need a whole lot of formal education. So I don't really think the classes were necessarily worth it in terms of what I'm trying to do now. Now I think, you know, if you're trying to be a doctor or a lawyer or a dentist, whatever, 100%, obviously you have to go to school for that. But
I would hope your doctor went to med school.
Yeah, but in terms of what I was doing, yeah, I don't think there was really any correlation in terms of what I learned.
That's awesome. What did you see yourself doing as a when you were high schooler? Because obviously the hustle was already there, man. Like you were selling beats. Like did you? At 17, 18 years old, did you see yourself becoming, you know, figuring out for yourself, working for yourself, creating a business? Or did you actually see yourself as like, oh, I'm going to go into business?
And there was actually a lot of kids from Muscatine like you, Connor, except they didn't do it with beats. They did it with
drugs,
meth and weed. Very similar, though.
Same lessons, man, at the end of the day.
Hey, dude, hustlers all the same, man. Connor probably started with coke. He just didn't tell anybody.
Yeah, I like to skip over that part usually if I can. I don't know. Honestly, I think I was just kind of like in the moment, you know. I don't think I was thinking that far ahead at 17, 18. I think I was just, you know, I was really still focused on football and sports and stuff like that, you know. I was able to kind of have some cool experiences in high school because, you know, the guy that I trained with, he had trained a couple other NFL guys and stuff like that. Because Minnesota is a hockey state, right? Like, there's no football presence really in Minnesota compared to, you know, even Iowa or Texas or Florida, obviously, like those big football states. But so, you know, we would go out. We almost kind of did like a skills and drills during the week, a couple days a week. Me and some buddies, we actually, I don't know if it was through a trainer or through someone's relationship, but we had access to like, basically, these NFL guys that were getting in workouts over at the University of Minnesota, and Larry Fitzgerald would be there because he's originally from Minnesota. So I was running routes with Larry Fitzgerald and learning from him and stuff, and like my junior year of high school. So it's kind of like a funny story. But yeah, like him, JerMichael Finley, who was a tight end for the Packers. Like they just have like a group, like anywhere from between 10 to 12 guys like every day out there running routes. So we try to get out there whenever we could.
Wow, that's incredible. Did you ever think of when you were at Iowa? Did you ever have any thoughts of like man, I should have, you know, because I'm sure you could have gone D2 and had a better chance to see a lot of early field time and build a career in the act. You know, Connor was a wide receiver. If you haven't picked up on that, you know, Larry Fitzgerald running routes, that kind of thing. Do you ever wish you would have gone somewhere else, somewhere that was interested and, you know, played it and.
Yeah,
I think the football career played out differently?
For sure, yeah. I mean, obviously, I would have liked to have been on the field more. You know, I mean, I kind of always thought about that, but at the same time, you know, I had some friends and stuff that kind of went to the smaller schools, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, as long as you're getting playing time, it's not a big deal at all. But for me, it's like, I just wanted to go against, like, the absolute best and just kind of see where I stacked up, because if I would have went and did really well at, you know, D3 school or D2 school, I don't know. Something in me would have just been like, I just wonder where I would have stacked up against, you know, the Division I guys and stuff like that, which, you know, so there was definitely those thoughts, but definitely no regrets because I'm, you know, I went against Dez and Maybach and all these guys, you know, so that's kind of how I got better. But yeah, I mean, it would have been cool to have more playing time, but at the end of the day.
And you made plays, dude. Like, it's not like you didn't make your fair share of plays. Believe me, I got to watch most of practice. wasn't doing really anything. And I watched you like moss people multiple times, so I mean it is what
it is. Yeah, I got them a couple times. I wasn't very fast at all. So I just tried to be like a good route runner and try to twist people around. So that was kind of like my role on scout team, which I know I think you had mentioned a couple of times. Like I said, I've listened to a lot of the episodes on the podcast. I definitely had like a wake up moment. I think you've kind of asked that to people.
Yeah.
And definitely was freshman year on scout team, of course. And you know, I was playing like Z receiver, which is, you know, the inside slot receiver, and I'm going against Hitchens, Kirksey, and Morris. One of those three, I basically have to crack back like every single play. I'm like, this is not gonna be this, you know. I spent practices on my back a lot more than I did on my feet.
Exactly like the video clip from NFL Films. Chad Johnson comes across the middle, tries to crack Ray Lewis.
Ray
and now all of a sudden the trainers are pulling him off the field like an oil slick.
that was literally me, like every day of practice.
That's so tough.
It was more of like a wake up, you know, year than it was a wake up, you know, moment, I guess you can call it.
Do you fill the entrepreneurial fire with that same kind of drive of competition that you felt in football?
Oh, for sure, 100%. You know, I think it's something where I'm just a competitor. I personally hate to lose more than I love to win.
Yep.
By far.
How about you guys?
I couldn't give a fuck about winning. I just don't want to lose.
Yep. Yeah. How about you, Kevin?
There's nothing that feels worse than losing in life.
Yeah.
I still haven't figured out how to handle it. I'm almost 27 years old, and I still throw shit fits.
Yeah, if Drake loses, he's 14. Like, he's not even. He's 6, and he didn't get his milk.
Yeah, so, no, I definitely hate to lose. So, yeah, I definitely channel that. You know, obviously can't go out and hit people or whatever. But
well, you could. Drake thinks you can.
Yeah. I suppose you could. But yeah, I definitely try to channel that and it's definitely made me competitive and I feel like I'll always be that way. 100%.
Damn. I always the first thing that comes to mind when I think of you is like back to those early morning lifts. You're standing there like you're still, you know, you tie the shoes up and you know, the coaches walk out, everybody's like, "Oh shit." Butthole gets a little tight for a second because it's about to start. You got to be on one, right? You got to be turned on, or else you're going to lose all your reps. You hit a hurdle and warm up, and everybody's starting over. That's no good, dude. Is clipping a hurdle the most anxiety inducing thing? You kind of look around quick, and you're
for
like,
freshman, absolutely, 100%.
Oh my God, I still think about that to this day. But when they would do roll call, you know, they go down the list, and it'd always be Kane Kluver. And so that's what always comes to mind. You have any favorite games that we played?
Oh yeah, I mean for sure Michigan, right? I mean when Keith put that one through, that was cool. Obviously, that just storming the field like that was always, you know, a memory that'll always stay with me. And then, you know, beating Minnesota too, you know, the Rose Bowl year, that was huge as well. You know, obviously being from Minnesota, and obviously not going to play for the Gophers. I always wanted to beat them. That was always kind of our game. But, so I would say those two are probably my favorite ones, for sure.
Yeah. The pig's decent. It's a good trophy.
100%.
It's always better winning the trophy when you're getting it from the other side of the field too.
For sure.
100%. 100%.
Or in their stadium, just because I love to be quite disrespectful to the opposing fan base on the way out of the stadium with the trophy.
Yeah, for sure. What do you so you live in Chicago now?
Mm-hmm.
And you have been there for how long?
Since graduation, so yeah.
Oh, you've been living there. That's been your home base. Okay.
Yep.
What's that?
I was going to say moving to Arizona, though, come September. I know we were talking about that a little bit before, but yeah, moving down to Scottsdale in September. I want to get in some warm weather.
Okay, just relocating because you have the ability to?
Yeah, I have the ability to, and just I've always liked Arizona. You know, growing up in Minnesota, it's just always been so damn cold, so I'm ready to get into some, like, warm weather year-round. for sure.
And we'll,
do you think you'll see yourself jumping around the country like every 3 years or something like that, or is Arizona a long-term plan?
I don't know. I'm definitely just going to feel it out. I can see myself staying out west.
You get to the valley, man, you're not going to want to leave.
That's kind of how I feel. I can see myself there for a long time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the plan as of now.
That sounds nice. So I feel like just talking to you, people probably get the sense of like you kind of got your shit together. And as much as you feel like you maybe do or don't, I'd love to know what are some, you know, you always see like the self-help books or like three things that every successful person does. And I know that that kind of stuff like probably has piqued your interest at some point or other. What are some of the things that you do like on a daily basis that help you stay in routine, stay productive, stay creative? Is there anything, any special secrets to the sauce?
Yeah, no special secrets as you guys know, but in terms of, I'm always getting in a workout every day. That's super important to me. I'm always drinking a bunch of water, which isn't like a hack or anything. It's just, I don't know, for whatever reason, it just makes me,
get a bottle in you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But no, I mean, it's really just, and then it's just making a list of like a to-do list of tasks I need to get done for the day. It's really nothing fancy, you know, 3 to 5 things that I need to get done in a workout's obviously always included in that. And it's just, you know, working a plan, you know, I obviously have goals and things like that, personally, professionally. And so just trying to work those, the best I can, you know, there's really no secret. I'm just kind of just going up and showing up to work like we did for 4 or 5 years at Iowa.
Yeah, go to work, man.
Yeah, that's really about it.
Is the plan to retire at like...
That's how Kevin became the CEO of Stryker Medical Supplies before his 30th birthday, dude.
Yeah.
He just got up and went to work.
Well, that company doesn't exist, so...
What's it called?
It's just Stryker Corporation.
Stryker Corporation.
Yeah, there you go. Kevin's on his way up.
The CEO's name is Kevin, by the way.
Yeah, Kevin Ford. Is the plan to retire... What's your best investment advice? Because I'm 26. Are you a big investor? Have you dabbled in the investments yet? Or
I'm honestly kind of just getting started in that.
Is Dogecoin going to the moon?
No, but I definitely did cash out a little bit on it when it kind of just hit a bump there last week or whenever it was. 2 weeks ago.
God damn it, you didn't text me.
It wasn't much. No, I honestly, I know you guys, I think you mentioned like Ike and Josie had been in on it for a while, you know, back when you guys were in, yep. Back when we were all in college.
Ike and Josie were always in on the gold.
Yeah, they were buying gold back in like, yeah.
Lame.
Yeah, I feel like you guys are a lot more into that. What's new on your guys' side in terms of investments?
Well, Drake and I called DraftKings like 2 months ago, and it's gone up like 30% since we told the group, the text group. I don't know if you've seen that like recently, Drake, but it's at like 85 a share, I think it was, or something like that yesterday. And we were calling it when it was at like 57 or something like that. So,
yeah, man. I got Toyota. Toyota's going to be at the front of the electric vehicle market here about 2024, 2025. So I bought some Toyota, very premature, like see if it can go to the moon.
Bitcoin dipped yesterday and today, so I'll probably invest the limited funds of the Wash Up Walk On's bank account into that soon here.
Do that. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Roll the dice, man.
Fuck it. I mean, why not?
I'm going to bet you a couple
months ago when it was at the bottom.
You bought what?
I bought Boeing a couple months ago at the bottom. Was up like
10. Oh, yeah. Airline recovery stock.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah, I watch this YouTube channel every morning. He puts out a channel. I think he's mainly focused on like Bitcoin right now.
Roaring Kitty?
No, it's called Conquer Trading and Investing. So you guys can check. I think he has like 80 or 83,000 subscribers. But I think he's spent like 20-30 years investing, and so he's pretty knowledgeable. So if you guys want to check him out, feel free.
Any podcasts or books that you highly recommend?
Podcasts? Yeah, I listen.
I mean, other than us.
Yeah, obviously, other than Washed Up Walk On.
Those fucking guys aren't doing it.
I really just listened to, it's called Relay F. It's by Andy Frisella. So he actually, that's actually a podcast. It used to be called the MF CEO Project, but he kind of transitioned over to Relay F, I think within the last year or so. But yeah, that's pretty much where I learned everything business. It came back from like, Rich started in 2014, you know, when we were sophomores at Iowa. And so I pretty much listened to every episode from that. And honestly, that's where I learned a lot of my business stuff. So if anyone's, you know, if you guys are looking to kind of learn more about business or whatever, highly recommend that. There's 300, 400, 500 episodes of it probably.
Yeah.
I might.
I mean, why go to college? You can just listen to a podcast.
That's legit at this point. All the information
on
the internet that is available to you, college is a scam.
Yeah, I completely agree. Unless you're like we said before, unless you're a doctor, lawyer, or anything.
Engineer.
Yeah. Well, even then, like, just go to trade schools or whatever if that becomes a thing. Like,
trade schools are way undervalued.
Yeah, I agree. And then it's like business schools. I feel like are gonna be gone in like 10 years.
Well, I saw that Google is coming out with like some kind of course, like offering that you can like get Google certifications or something like that, and they're higher than just like a weekend warrior like go and spend 10 hours learning something. It like takes a few months to do, but it's not like a full on college education. I think that could be the beginning of the end for the old college. But Drake,
you
what else is
in football for Google?
Well, other than that, what else is a scam, Drake? College, COVID. Are there any others?
A lot of things that start with a C, I guess.
Politics. I don't know. Everything, basically. You got any extra rooms out there in the Scotts? Do you have a spot picked out yet? Because I might just move in. I mean, I am married and have my own place, but.
For me or for Drake?
I want to work.
He knows he's not welcome to move into my house. He's talking to you right now.
I want to work for Connor Kane Incorporated and potentially live with you.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe later in life when you're my private trainer.
Yeah, we'll have a sick ass gym in the basement.
100%. Yeah.
Anything else, boys? Man, that was good.
No, I don't think so. I do really want to invest in your company when you take it public and make billions of dollars. So let me know and let me get in early. I know that's called like insider trading or something. And I think
it's a great rat hole.
Pelosi just did it with like 10 million. So
yeah, dude, listen, all of those crooked pieces of shit, you and I could at least make a couple dollars off of them and not feel bad about it, you know?
Got you, man. For sure.
Connor, we appreciate you coming on, brother.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. It's been a blast for sure. I know we've been talking about it for a while. Yeah, because I think Tyler, when I texted you, I was out in Colorado and I came across a street called Polecat Lane.
Yep.
I sent you a picture of it, and that's what made me think of I think that's when we kind of started texting again.
Yeah, and since we started this podcast, man, the whole walk-on story and just kind of the uniqueness of what you've done since we've met at Iowa in 2013, it was always one that I wanted to highlight on the pod. So I'm glad we got to sit down, man.
Yeah, for sure. It's great getting caught up. We'll definitely have to keep in touch more than we have been.
100%. 100%. Episode 209 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Hopefully you guys enjoyed your time here with Connor and us. We will be back again on Thursday. Might preview the Hawks' last practice of spring a little bit. Maybe we'll have a guest. Who knows? Either way, you'll get to listen to our three dumbasses.
So did the spring game not happen?
They're not doing a spring game.
There's no spring game. It's just two open practices.
Oh, okay. So you went to one of two?
Yeah. The third week Saturday was open, which was not yesterday, but 8 days ago. And then the last day is open as well.
Hell yeah.
I'll be back in town. Kevin will not be there. Drake will not be there, but I will be there.
Maybe you'll be able to attend your first crawfish boil, you fucking square.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to log off. Everybody, thanks for listening. Peace.
Hey, everyone. I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo. We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams. Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today. So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram, too.